With NFL free agency nearly 2 weeks old, the pace of signings across the league has slowed down. We consider the Packers players left on the market and whether they'll be back in Titletown in 2016 or not. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kirvu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking free agency. It's the second wave of free agency. You could argue that the second wave of free agency is ending and we're entering the third wave, but regardless of what wave we're on, we're breaking down what's happened with the world of the Green Bay Packers. News broke just before our last episode of Railbird Central back on Friday, literally minutes before we went on air, that James Starks had agreed to a contract with the Green Bay Packers. And that leads us into today's segment.
Packers news of the day.
News about James Starks' contract. We now have details of the contract he signed. So he gets a $1.5 million signing bonus. So that all that money is up front. That's the guaranteed portion of his salary, along with yearly annual salaries of $1.1 million in 2016 and $2.6 million in 2017. Then he gets all sorts of bonuses. He gets, I believe the number is $18,750 per game on an annual basis for every game he's on the active roster. So if he plays, he gets that kind of money. If he's injured, he doesn't play that game, he doesn't get it. I think if I'm correct, that adds up to about $1 million per season. He gets a very nice signing bonus, a bonus if he makes the Pro Bowl, and then there's some rush yard. You know, if he rushes for a certain amount of yards, he gets something like a $600,000 bonus for those kind of things. So it is heavily incentivized for a player like James Starks, and it's a 2-year. $6 million deal, so paying him an average of $3 million per season, which I believe I heard ranks 15th in the NFL, which you can kind of look at that at and, you know, say, wow, James Starks, this is a guy who's pretty much been a backup his entire career. Is he the 15th best running back in the NFL? Does he deserve to be paid like the 15th best running back? I know when we're talking about salaries, we're not talking about the best player. But you can kind of look at it through that lens and just wondering if he deserves that kind of money or not. And in addition to that, I mean, just the way it's structured, the Packers... made it in a way in which they can get out of it after 1 year and, you know, save quite a bit of money under their salary cap. They can save something like $3 million, over $3 million next year if they were to release them, something along those lines. I'd have to look up the exact details to see how it's precisely structured in terms of the cap hit per year. But you can still argue the Packers paid perhaps a little bit, you know, overpaid to keep their own once again. As we talked about on the last episode of Railbird Central, the players that they know and have been on their roster before, you know, also like LaTroy Guyon, also like Lane Taylor, the Packers, you know, perhaps pay a little bit more than any other team would to keep their own players on their roster. So that's the news that's, you know, since our last episode of Railbird Central, not too much happened in the world of the NFL or the world of the Packers over the weekend. I think, as you know, most of the nation was focused on March Madness, and what a game. Just by the way, last night, as the in-state Wisconsin Badgers win on a buzzer beater at the end of regulation to beat Xavier and qualify for the Sweet 16 in the NCAA basketball tournament. What a game. I'm sure that kept people up late at night last night. And with such an exciting finish with Bronson Koenig hitting the game winner, a three-pointer as the clock ran out. It was an amazing, amazing game. So if you're a fan of the Wisconsin Badgers, or heck, you're just a fan of basketball in general, sports in general, you had to enjoy that last night. Just the fashion in which that game ended. I know Packers players were reacting to it on Twitter as I was following along with social media there, if you want your Packers connection. But we're not going to go any more into that. The purpose of today's show, or the topic du jour, I guess you could say, we're going to take a look at the second wave of free agency. You know, you could argue almost now that the second wave is ending, and there's several Packers players still left on the open market and kind of wanted to go through, you know, where they stand, what's their future with the Packers organization or anywhere else, what may have changed since the outset of free agency in terms of, is there enough money left to sign these guys? I know we kind of previewed that, you know, before free agency even started, we kind of went through the list of players who would be free agents, but I kind of want to go through, you know, what's changed since then and what their prospects are of signing now that, you know, other players have come and gone or stayed in Green Bay or left Green Bay. You know, where might they stand now? So kind of wanted to take this time to go through that. So we'll kind of go down the list from, no particular order here other than maybe the kind of some of the starting with the biggest name players and going to the guys that are a little bit further down the depth chart or further down the roster. But, you know, starting with, you know, wide receiver James Jones, obviously a guy who's, you know, well-known throughout the league. And helped the Packers immensely in 2015. You could maybe make the argument that James Jones was the team's MVP in 2015, the way he, you know, was signed literally days before the start of the regular season, barely had enough time to, get caught up on all the changes in the Packers offense before he would, you know, suit up for his first game of the 2015 season and does a terrific job for the Green Bay Packers throughout the whole year. And there's, you know, James Jones obviously is still, you know, not without his own drawbacks. Of course, you know, his speed is nothing to write home about. There's many things he does. I mean, he has enough speed to get by, but it's his savvy, his route running, his strength more than anything. His ability to gain yards after contact. I think there's a lot of times he can drag a player, especially a smaller defensive back, for extra yardage. But it's his veteran presence out there, just his know-how, the savviness more than anything, in which he got by. And you kind of thought that, I know, went through my mind as just kind of being a selfish from the Green Bay Packers perspective, is you almost hoped after he had a good season in 2015 that maybe it wouldn't be like this past year, where maybe he would get some more interest on the free agent market, seeing as he proved this past season, he proved the doubters wrong. He's like, he can still do something. And I know I almost hope from a fan perspective that, you know, James Jones would get interest elsewhere. Because, I mean, if James Jones were to sign a contract with another team, it could potentially mean, possibly mean, that the Packers get a compensatory draft pick in return. if he signs for enough money, if he qualifies for the formula, which of course means the Packers would have to lose more free agents than they gain. Of course, there's a lot of moving parts there, a lot of things that would have to happen. But, you know, you wanted it for James Jones because he's a good guy. You want him to go out there, find interest, sign a good contract, and just be, like, good for him. Because you also wanted him. I know I kind of think that the Packers should move on. I mean, they've got so many wide receivers there. You know, they dealt with so many injuries this past year to Jordy Nelson, to Ty Montgomery. I mean, those guys are going to be back. But not only that, you got emerging kind of wide receivers like Jeff Janis, like Jared Aberderis. In addition to all the guys they, you know, have not been injured or whatever, you know, more veteran guys like Randall Cobb. You've got Davante Adams. You got some guys, you know, further down the depth chart, practice squad guys. I mean, you want to make room for these guys so they develop and James Jones isn't kind of, you know, impeding their progress, impeding their development. You know, he's not taking snaps away from them in practice, things like that. You know, give them the opportunity because obviously, you know, James Jones, regardless if he has a year or two left, he's near the end of his career. You know, if it's not, maybe not over already, but I mean, he doesn't have, you know, many years left. So, you know, why not spend that time in Green Bay developing younger guys who could potentially help you for years to come? And so, you know, I still don't think James Jones is going to come back. It kind of same premise as it was before free agency even started. I think, you know, if all of a sudden the Packers suffer an injury during training camp, sure, he can come back. I just don't think you know, there's any urgency for that they could wait like last year. And if he signed somewhere else in the interim, great. You know, good luck to you, James Jones. But I think the Packers will continue to wait on him. Fullback John Kuhn, of course, a multi-time Pro Bowler at the fullback position. A guy who's getting up there in age himself. What is John Kuhn now? Something like 32 years old. I said before, I guess, you know, with the Packers, with the salary cap situation getting tighter, I said going into free agency, I thought John Kuhn would be back on once again, you know, maybe yet another one-year deal. This past offseason, he signed a one-year deal. It, you know, worth not a whole lot more than the NFL's veteran minimum, probably got a little bit more than that. And I guessed before free agency, he would do something similar to that. I guess the more time goes on, the even less I'm inclined to, you know, spend money on a guy like John Kuhn because, you know, being a veteran guy, just the minimum for a veteran is less than the minimum for a rookie. You know, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars in difference. And as the Packers salary cap situation gets tighter, you know, they can save several hundred thousand dollars under the salary cap by going with a younger guy as opposed to an older guy. They can save that money underneath the cap. And they obviously already have the fullback of the future, you know, Aaron Ripkowski on the roster at the fullback position. Whether that torch is passed this season or next season kind of remains to be seen. I certainly wouldn't rule out John Kuhn coming back. I guess I just think it's maybe more likely that he doesn't, in that the Packers decide to move on. They decide to make a little, you know, save a little bit of salary cap space. Ultimately, I do think he's going to be back, although I could kind of see it if they did decide to move on. Tight end Andrew Corliss. We previewed the tight end position or discussed dissected the tight end position rather in depth this past Friday, but throwing my own two cents into the matter. I do not think Andrew Corliss will be back. I think the Packers will be content to allow him to test the market. You know, maybe that could change the further we go on. Let's assume they don't sign Jared Cook, which, you know, that still kind of seems up in the air. It's now been a full week. Jared Cook was reportedly in town visiting the Packers this past Monday. It's now Monday again, so an entire week has passed since he visited the Green Bay Packers. And it's not looking good that they signed Jared Cook. I mean, they certainly could yet. I don't know what Jared Cook is going to find out there. You got to presume that the Chicago Bears are potentially one option that he might have out there. But, I mean, why haven't you heard more about that? Why haven't you heard he's visited the Chicago Bears or they're you know, discussing a contract or anything like that? I don't know what's going on with Jared Cook. You know, perhaps, you know, it might be in his best interest to take a little bit less money and sign with the Packers, perhaps. I don't know if that's maybe the Packers haven't even offered a contract. Maybe they've decided to move on. You know, a lot of things we don't know unless, you know, the both parties are just not commenting on the situation. And maybe it's because they don't want to, you know, they just want things to play out and not have, you know, outside media influences. I don't know. Nobody knows at this point, or at least that I've seen published in reports or anything like that. You know, should you know, the Packers not sign Jared Cook, maybe there's a more likely chance Andrew Corliss comes back. I tend to think he still will not, because even if the Packers don't sign a tight end in free agency, whether Jared Cook or anybody else, you know, I think potentially they'll still add somebody in the NFL draft. You know, we're talking a month down the road here. But, you know, that's just one more roster spot into the tight end position. And you're starting to accumulate a lot of bodies there. And for a guy with an injury history like Andrew Corliss, I think they may just move on. So we've gone through James Jones, John Kuhn, Andrew Corliss. Okay, linebacker Mike Neal, and we kind of discussed him a little bit this past Friday as well, because last we heard, Mike Neal was made visits to both, reportedly, the Detroit Lions and the Seattle Seahawks. Kind of interesting there in that, you know, if he made visits to these places, why is he not signed with one of them? I don't know if interest has cooled there. Apparently it has. I mean, when players make visits, deals tend to, most of the time, get done pretty quick. I think the thing hindering Mike Neal here is that, he's already been suspended once by the NFL for violating the league's substance abuse policy. He's being investigated, as part of the ongoing investigation the NFL is conducting into the allegations made by the, documentary that aired on Al Jazeera, which also, of course, most notably Peyton Manning was part of, and also Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers were named as well, but they're not free agents. So I think this is maybe perhaps hurting Mike Neal more than anything else in terms of, you know, even if he's totally clear of any wrongdoing, the fact remains he's already been suspended by the NFL once, which means he's, you know, just one step closer to being suspended longer the next time it happens. You know, I think he was suspended 4 games a few years ago. Next time it happens, it's going to be for like 10 games. And then you're wondering, why do you even have a player like Mike Neal on your roster if that were to happen? So he's definitely got to stick, you know, keep himself clean. I don't know if teams want to take on that, you know, risk or not. And if they are going to take on the risk, they probably don't want to take on, you know, much of a monetary risk then in terms of paying him much money. So they don't want to pay him a whole lot. I tend to think Mike Neal walks. Could he come back? Sure. I don't think wherever he goes, it's going to be a whole lot of money. But ultimately, do not think he comes back to Green Bay, but I could be wrong. Offensive lineman Don Barclay. Here's a guy who you know, suffered a knee injury in the 2014 season. Season ended on injured reserve, torn ACL, comes back in 2015 and, you know, looks like a shell of himself, you know, in part due to injury for many players, unless you're Adrian Peterson or, you know, one of the few. You know, it for many players, it takes 2 years to come back from an ACL. And of course, he Don Barclay looked at his worst when he was at left tackle, when he had to replace an injured David Bakhtiari, both during the preseason and during the regular season. You know, the Packers ultimately would go in another direction because Don Barclay did so poorly. They, you know, ultimately found J.C. Treader, who worked out a little bit better over there. And Don Barclay, I think, looks better at right guard, seems to be more comfortable there, seems to where he's gotten the majority of his playing time in the NFL, or on the inside at guard. He didn't play at guard a whole lot this past season. I'm not sure if he did whatsoever or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, I do tend to think the Packers would be willing to bring Don Barclay back, seeing as, you know, yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent, but he hasn't been around for, you know, 10 years like the James Jones and John Kuhns have. The money on a deal like Don Barclay wouldn't be as much just because, you know, the minimum amount you're paid in the NFL, you know, depends on like how long you've been around, how many years of experience you've put in. He's still relatively young compared to a guy like that and thus doesn't get paid quite as much. So, you know, I tend to think, you know, Don Barclay will ultimately be back with the Packers. Obviously, I don't think you want to go down the road of him being a left tackle again, strictly a right tackle or interior at guard, and just hope that, you know, one more year removed from that injury, he'll be better. His salary cap, you know, the charge against the cap will not prevent the Packers from bringing him back. And there will be very little guaranteed money there in terms of he would have to make the 53-man roster in order to get paid. Or if there is, you know, any guaranteed money, it would be a very small signing bonus or something like that. I think ultimately comes back. It's just a matter of time before that happens. Linebacker Andy Malumba was a restricted free agent who the Packers did not tender, thus making him a street free agent. Not an unrestricted free agent technically, because those are the kind of guys that bring comp picks. Andy Malumba being only his third year, even if he were to leave and sign a nice contract, the Packers would not get anything. But I think that's a pipe dream anyway. You know, he's been on the market now for nearly 2 weeks, and, you know, he hasn't signed anywhere, so I don't think the interest in him is major out there. I think it's a good thing the Packers decided not to tender him. The one-year tender, the lowest tenure, would have been something like, you know, $1.6 million in that range. That would have been way too much for a guy who, you know, barely played outside of special teams this past year. Andy Malumba did. So what's interesting is he actually looked pretty darn good in training camp last year. In the summer of 2015, you thought, wow, there's some potential here that Andy Malumba could be a pass rusher, could cause some havoc for the Packers defense. But, you know, once the regular season started, it was, you know, Julius Peppers and Mike Neal and Nick Perry and Clay Matthews out there rushing the passer, and once in a while Jayron Elliott, and you know, very little room for anybody else. Andy Malumba may have got some playing time sparingly, but barely registered on your radar at all. So I think the Packers can still bring him back on a minimum deal. Give him one more chance, one more shot to fight for a roster spot. Again, like Don Barclay, I don't think you give him much, if any, guaranteed money. And he would have to make the roster in order to get paid, basically. So we'll see what happens there. I think we got two more guys left to go on the list of players who are still free agents for the Green Bay Packers. Safety Sean Richardson, the man who has had two cervical fusion surgeries. And, you know, according to an article by Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, there was kind of two interesting things talking to Sean Richardson just before the start of free agency. One, that he wants to play again, actually, which is kind of surprising in a way that many people think his health should come before, you know, any concern, and maybe he should willingly walk away, but he apparently wants to play. And if he were to, he may be the first person in history, at least, you know, I know Silverstein couldn't cite anybody else who's done this, and I don't certainly know of anybody. Nobody's come back from two cervical fusion surgeries ever and has played football again. So he could be able to, you know, make history if he were to do that. Now, I don't know if the Packers even want to take that risk. If they want to, even if Richardson wants to play, if they want to sign him to a contract and put him out there and risk him getting injured once again under their watch, I'm not sure the Packers want it. I don't think the Packers should do that. I don't think they should re-sign him because I don't think he's, you know, really, I mean, we're talking about Sean Richardson here. We're talking about a guy who's been a backup safety and special teams player. It did look like maybe he had some potential at one point. I know I was a big fan of his coming out of college, but it, you know, the injuries combined with just kind of average play at best kind of put a damper on the situation in terms of what you think he may be able to do in the future. So I ultimately don't think he'll come back, and that leaves us to the last player on the roster, who's, you know, a Packers player who still remains a free agent, long snapper Brett Goode, who we talked about. I know, you know, in our free agency preview, the injury, the timing of his injury, suffered a torn ACL late last season. The timing of the injury couldn't have been worse. You know, had he suffered a torn ACL in training camp, you know, he may be able to be ready for the upcoming season. But in terms of, you know, he tears his ACL in December, you know, he's not going to be, if it even takes a year that, you know, for him to get back, that's, you know, he's not ready till this upcoming December. I think, you know, there's a good thing in terms that he's been around so long. It's not like the Packers need Brett Goode to be around in mini camp OTAs. They don't even really need him to be around for training camp. You know, if he could somehow be ready for the start of the regular season in September, you know, that would really be all they need. But they've already got the other long snapper, the guy who replaced him late last season, Rick Lovato, under contract. You know, are you going to bring Brett Goode back? You know, he's a guy who's been around for a while, and they could save once again, you know, just because of the minimum salary for a guy who's been around 8-9 years in the league, several hundred thousand dollars more than the guy who's, you know, simply a rookie. They can save some money there as well if they were not to resign him. You know, I think maybe they'll take a wait and see approach if they think Brett Goode just, you know, they can wait as long as they want with Brett Goode. They could re-sign him in August or September if they had to, if they want to. So I just don't think the Packers are going to be all that motivated to get at least anything done anytime soon. So you're probably waiting a while there before we find anything out. But I wouldn't rule it out just because he's been so good. I've said this before, Brett Goode in his time with the Packers, 8 years with the Packers, has never had an errant snap in terms of a snap go over a punter's head or a holder's head or whatever. It's never happened. And that alone is worth its weight in gold when it comes to long snappers. And that's the one reason you think he could potentially come back. So there you go. There's the list of all the Packers still on the free agent market. You know, where they stand, what their chances are of coming back, what my predictions are of them coming back. And we'll see as we we're riding the crest of the second wave of free agency and starting to get near the third, in terms of, you know, pretty much minimum deals coming from here on out. So that does that and brings us to our next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this day, this Monday, it's the NFL owners meeting actually began Sunday night as NFL owners, NFL presidents in terms of what Mark Murphy is to the Green Bay Packers, head coaches, general managers, they're all in Boca Raton, Florida this week, at least through Wednesday, for the league's annual meeting in which they consider rule changes to the game and, you know, just discuss things relating to the league and the NFL and its future. And, you know, that's happening today. The big thing happening today is a press conference by the NFL's competition committee. They're the ones who consider and propose rule changes to the game, of which Packers president Mark Murphy is a member, one of nine members on the NFL's competition committee that, you know, includes owners, it includes coaches. So it's made up of different types of people considering rule changes to the game. Mark Murphy, of course, a former player in the NFL, so it's not as if he's just a suit and has never played the game before. He knows a little bit about playing the game, in addition to now being making more large-scale decisions as the Packers president. So he'll kind of be in the spotlight today. And then so you'll hear a lot today about all these proposed rule changes. You know, among them, I know they're considering eliminating the chop block totally, or making it illegal to do it, in terms that even if it was, you know, what they once thought was legal, or what once was legal, would now be penalized going forward. They're considering making the changes to the extra point permanent. It was just done on a one-year basis this past year. They're considering moving touchbacks from the 20-yard line to the 25-yard line. These are all things being considered. Not guaranteed that any of them will happen. Some of them probably will, probably like the NFL's extra point. I think for sure you'll see that ratified or approved. But there was 19 rule changes proposed in total. I think you'll only see a small number of them approved. But we'll find out what those are today. It might take longer than that tomorrow, but we'll get an update from the NFL's competition committee later on Monday, sometime Monday afternoon, when they hold a press conference. So that is on the agenda for today. In the future days, there will be the coaches' breakfasts. I know the AFC coaches meet with the media one day, the NFC coaches the next. So you'll hear from Mike McCarthy and get some of his thoughts on the team and the roster and things like that. So that's what to look forward to in the next couple days as the NFL's owners' meeting or annual meeting takes place in Florida. And that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on a Monday morning as we talk about what's going on in the world of the Packers at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. We have new shows every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. The live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, we'd appreciate it if you gave us a rating or a review on iTunes. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. It's the one small thing we ask in return because it helps us get word out about the show as people search on iTunes for Packers podcasts. This'll pop up. So if you could search Cheesehead TV, just give a brief little review. We'd greatly appreciate it. We'll see you, folks, next episode on Wednesday. We'll talk to you then. I leave you today with a song called Kitty in a Cooler by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.